are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And so when we come through to talk about digital evangelism, here is what it's all about. In 2023, ChatGPT, under the guise of a middle-aged man on a monitor, led a 40-minute worship service in Fürth, Germany. I was telling the guys earlier on to say ChatGPT is an evangelist, guys, and here we have the proof of that. So he went and did this, right, as this 40-odd-year-old person. According to reports, it was unexpectedly not weird at all. This may seem a bridge too far for anything other than an experiment, right, at least based on today's technology. Now, tomorrow, that might actually be something totally different, especially as we move from generative AI to something a bit more intuitive. So let's have a conversation to say, hey, what do we do when these things are what's becoming the norm? Can you use a ChatGPT to form sermons, to speak in your stead, or to do other things? Let's have a discussion. And joining us in this conversation is our evangelist who's been with us this week, Babu Chogu Gudza, coming through. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome.
Good afternoon to you and to your listeners. This conversation got so serious, I had to make sure that I join in studio today. So, hey, if you're listening, I am here in person, in the flesh, so that we deal with these difficult conversations.
Your argument might then be used to counter, actually, we're having a conversation about virtual ministry and digital evangelism. And you said, no, I want to be there in person, guys.
No, we proved that the first 2 days.
It works.
But now we are here
to
sort out the rest of the topic.
No, welcome, sir, and thank you so much for coming through and taking the time to share with us. We're talking this idea of digital evangelism. Let's look at the potential benefits, right?
Yeah.
And even maybe look at some risks that come through from using AI in creating content for digital evangelism. Is it good? Is it bad? What are the pros? What are the cons?
Absolutely. First and foremost, when we consider any type of technology, whether we're considering vehicles, whether we're considering planes, cell phones, books, newspapers, I mean, from the most primitive to what we have now, God is the one who ultimately allows us to have these things.
Okay.
Yes, they may have negative implications, but it would be amiss for us not to look at the benefits. And I think ChatGPT, while controversial, has lots of benefits, and that's what we may perhaps start with.
Okay.
When you look at how ministry has been done in the past and the access to information that we have today, the one main benefit that we can't argue against is scalability. When we speak of producing content quickly, when we also speak of ensuring that churches, individuals, and whoever, companies, can produce content quicker, we can only think about ChatGPT. That's the one benefit that we cannot dispute. The other would then be accessibility, which is then making sure that the content that you have is accessible. So you may find that in the past you would have sermons or articles written in a certain language to the disadvantage of those that don't understand that language. But with tools like ChatGPT and artificial intelligence in general, you find that you can quickly translate, you can quickly transcribe, you can caption videos for those that may have a challenge hearing. So that's another benefit that one can look at as we speak of AI as a tool.
Okay.
We can also, you know, tap into the efficiency. You have lots of repetitive and technical content that you can be assisted with when you talk of editing, you know, articles. In the past, you'd have to sit for hours looking for errors, but you can use ChatGPT or AI as a grammar tool, and you can do your work a lot more efficiently. You know, when we consider these tools, those are just a few of them.
Benefits.
And I'm sure you've got so many others that you can throw in. But it's beneficial before we go into the negatives.
So, let me not ask my question or put my comment on that. Let's first allow you to give us from the negative side or some of the challenges that are there from the cons, if you will, of using AI.
Yeah. God created us as creative beings.
Okay.
We see this in the creation. God himself is creative. He designs the world. He creates food before the people. He creates the place of habitat before the creatures. Mm-hmm. And you find that when all is said and done, he says, this is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that we are made in his image. And ChatGPT and artificial intelligence, shame, we're going to mention ChatGPT so many times today. But you'd find that artificial intelligence can challenge that creativity that God has given us. He's made us in his image. He's made us with brains to think and create.
Mm.
But when you have an over-dependence on these tools, which are wonderful in and of themselves, we may run into the disadvantage of over-dependence and also not using the creativity that God has given us to its full extent.
Okay.
You may also run into the challenge of the dilution of spiritual depth.
Mm.
When we rely heavily on ChatGPT or artificial intelligence, I mean, we've got so many large language models out, you get to a point where you may lack spiritual depth. And it may also even take away your part studying to show yourself approved as a workman who needs to rightly divide the word of truth.
Yeah.
So there is that danger where the spiritual aspect of the word of God is then diluted. Because at the end of the day, we need to know what we believe. We need to be able to stand and speak and defend our beliefs, as did the early disciples in the books of in the book of Acts and the other epistles as well. Then there's the big one of misinformation and error.
Okay,
you really don't know whether what ChatGPT is giving you is true or false. Oh,
no. Okay, so you mustn't just take it at first value.
So you can't take it at first value, but it's so unfortunate that I've read of a few cases now where you had university students and one was a PhD student who just took something out of ChatGPT, pasted it onto their research paper, and they forgot the little remark that ChatGPT normally makes to say, let me know if I need to tweak or if you need anything more. And just because of that little line, they caught him out. So we really need to fact check whatever comes out of ChatGPT because there's a huge risk of us being misinformed and also, you know, digesting a lot of error in that. But maybe for now, we can leave those disadvantages there as we continue with the conversation.
No, thank you. Thank you for those. Yeah, no. And I think what I'm picking up is let ChatGPT be a tool that the person must still have an input to the work. Because I was just looking at it to say, you know what, there was a time when researchers would come into a library with books and books when they're trying to prepare for a presentation. Then we move from that to somebody having just some online tools, right? You've got this book and that book and that book. And then we move from that to getting an online search engine like your Google or Bing and your whatever. And they just go and search whatever they need, right? And even the books themselves started having keyword searches, right? Where you could plant in something. Yeah, I'm just looking for a topic on dress, for example. Yes. And it'll give you anything and everything that's available on that talk to say, are we not just at another space? I mean, would we say that the person who comes in and doesn't really go deep into studying each and every book and looking for each and every content is a much more researched person than the person who is coming in and saying, ChatGPT, they asked me to preach tomorrow. What do I say about AI evangelism? And then it gives you everything. And all you'd go and say, okay, so actually what's wrong with AI evangelism is, I don't know, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, please don't ever do that. This should never replace thorough research and preparation.
Uh-huh.
But maybe two things.
Okay.
When it comes to those challenges that you've mentioned, firstly, I don't think avoidance is a solution, because when new technology, I was about to say theology, but when new technology is introduced, the error that we've had in the past, you've mentioned your Googles, you've mentioned your Wikipedias, you've mentioned all the development of technology. When you research and actually go in the past, you find that people were fighting against
the Satan. That's Satan. Leave this thing.
It's the devil.
Exactly. And even at an academic level in academia, you had, you know, the referencing system. They just refused to adapt to. And I think it's only now that one can actually, you know, reference articles. It's a new development that's being added in academia. I mean, I think it's less than maybe 20 years old. Mm. But the internet has been around for a lot longer than that. So, yes, I do want to agree with you and say, you know what? ChatGPT is nothing new in and of itself. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun, by the way. But this is just a revolution. This is an advancement. This is, I mean, we're getting a comment here to say AI is faster. And I want to agree to say this is a refining of tools that's pre-existing. I've had the privilege, by the way, of working with companies that I won't mention, who are some of the world's leading AI, you know, trainers, if you will, the fine tuners. AI is trained by a concept called reinforcement learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been exposed to that space, and you find that all that AI does, all these wonderful models that we have, it consolidates information that's already existing online and in other sources as well, whether it's fed books, documents.
Mm-hmm.
And what it then does is it puts it together. So it's not new in and of itself. So it would be a danger for us to then chuck it one side and say, you know, this is coming from Satan.
But you were just talking about one of the cons being laziness that it introduces.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you counter that? Because, I mean, I was just about to ask the guys on the TikTok platform to say, would you take, I mean, I'd asked earlier on to say, would you take, I mean, the introduction was speaking about a sermon preached by AI.
Yeah.
Would you take that seriously?
Yeah.
How about your pastor, your preacher, your priest, your bishop, if they're to come and say and give you a sermon and then you realize, wait a minute, that was a sermon from ChatGPT. Would you take that seriously, or would you think, this man, you know, how would you counter that where it comes across like it's laziness?
Yeah.
You're no longer a Christian. You're just giving me AI here.
Yeah. It definitely is laziness. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the verse that urges us to study to show ourselves approved. Mm. I've unfortunately had the displeasure, or I don't know what's the word. It wasn't a privilege, but I sat through an AI sermon. It's very easy to hear because of the way that it leans heavily on using adjectives to try and make something, you know, colorful. There's a way that it writes, and you'd hear someone saying, this is not just theological, but this is transformative. I'm like, but that's not the language that we use. So, yes, you are right.
Don't hate on the brothers, Anisu.
I'm not at all. I'm not at all, but it wasn't pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do want to mention, as I agree with you, to say that it would be laziness for one to just type a sermon out and present that as it is, because we need to be immersed in God's word.
Okay.
Otherwise, we run the risk of teaching error, the risk of believing error. And also, there's a time that's coming, by the way. The Bible says this, where people go around looking all over for the word of God and will be nowhere to be found. So the best that we can use artificial intelligence is just as a tool. Just as one would use a Bible commentary. You don't take the Bible commentary and put that on the pulpit
and preach that.
But you use it as a tool, comparing and balancing with other resources as well, to ensure that when your sermon or your video or your audio, whatever it is that you're producing in this landscape of digital evangelism, is then produced, it's something that's a good product and something that's not just, you know, generated from AI. So it's the best use we can have for AI is a tool, and it shouldn't replace the effort. It shouldn't replace the person, but it should be used as a tool, which is a powerful tool, by the way.
Yeah, but Anesu has dabbled in everything. It looks like you're a man of many talents.
the Lord says we should cast our bread upon many waters.
You must have that net.
You don't know which
out,
one
right?
is going to work.
Another comment coming through saying AI shouldn't be used as the sermon, but just as a help when preaching. Guys, okay, let me leave you in your bubbles. It's fine. Let's talk a bit about ethical implications. Are there any of using AI to generate content for sermons, Bible studies, or other forms of ministry? Is that something wrong? I mean, I know you kind of touched on it already, but from an ethical perspective, is there something wrong? Would God not be impressed by you as an evangelist who use AI?
Yeah. So the the first implication that I would want to maybe throw is personal integrity and honesty.
Okay, okay.
There's a tendency that we oftentimes have when we hear something from someone, we take it as our own and we present it as if we are the founders, we the inventors.
Okay.
And you find that ministers and digital evangelists and missionaries like ourselves run the risk and the temptation of having these wonderful ideas produced by AI.
Okay.
And we run around claiming or acting as if they are our own. So while it's a very thin line to establish, we need to be very honest in being transparent to say, hey, this was AI generated, if we ever use that as a referencing point.
But who was asked? I mean, would, have you ever said I found this on Google?
Absolutely. I mean, when you consider the academic space and world, you don't take quotations and ideas from people's work and claim them as your own, which is why I say the line is very thin. I'm not saying
AI guys.
Listen, and we're coming to the second implication, which is the ethical one, which is then plagiarism.
But so, am I plagiarizing ChatGPT, guys?
So
because remember, I have put the prompt.
Yes.
So AI, please make for me a picture of a man who is wearing a fawn jacket with some gray pants and has got short hair and
yeah.
You can't say when it has made this and I must AI make this person. Is it really AI or is me? Because I came up with the concept.
So I want us to be balanced as we speak.
Okay.
Because saying everything is okay and we open the gates wide open to the ignoring of, you know, the ethical implications that we're trying to establish would, I think, would be a faulty premise to work on. How AI works is what we first need to understand. As I told you, it consolidates data that it's been trained and fed.
Yes.
And the biggest contributor of that data is the online space.
Yes.
So online, you find people's articles. Online, you find people's books. Online, you find people's videos. Online, you find all the content that AI has access to.
Okay.
That's the first database. The second are libraries of information that it's been fed manually in the system. So when you ask AI a question, when you have done prompt engineering and you've given it this wonderful prompt and it gives you a sermon back, perhaps you say create a sermon on the love of God, it actually can go to sermons that's been preached
by
in
others.
The past by other people. And you find yourself in a very tricky situation where you may unintentionally
plagiarize.
Not to say that was your intention. So it's always wise, especially in academic work, especially in public work that's going to be distributed online. It's a wise thing to state what is AI generated. So if you are using a presentation where you have generated an image online, there's no harm in you mentioning that AI generated, just as you would credit CNN if you were to use their image,
article,
is what I'm saying, because you may end up running into problems. And that's where, you know, the... Yeah.
Yo, that's so much work. At Minengaga. Yo. Okay, we're having a conversation, if in case you just joined us. We are looking at the implications of using AI as a digital evangelist and online missionaries. And it looks like our time is out, but maybe let me wrap up with this one. Human oversight. I think we had dabbled in this one. And I want us to close up just really underscoring on this one here to say, what's the role of that in the use of AI, the person behind, the one who does the prompt engineering like you're putting across? What's the role there? Because I think that's where, if we can manage that, we'll be able to come up with something much more tangible as we go out there.
Yeah. Oversight is absolutely critical when we speak of content that is, you know, just generated by a machine.
Okay.
AI was not created by God. And I say this to say that God created us as humans with dominion over everything. He created us with the creative power, as I mentioned in the opening, to think, to reason, to put things together. He created us with the empathy and the sympathy to know how to speak to a person who's grieving.
Okay.
And when you find yourself using AI, I think it's critical for you to have the final word, the final say, as you've used it as a tool, not as a replacement of yourself, in looking over whatever it's given you. and to put that human touch in whatever is then produced because it lacks that. And I think we are also guardians of the gospel. As we are here on earth, we are representatives of the kingdom of heaven, which is why we are speaking about this topic. So you'd find that sometimes AI is exposed to so much information, it may not know what to give you in terms of aligning with theological truths that we believe as per the Bible.
Okay.
AI is exposed to atheist libraries.
Yes.
It's exposed to spiritualism. It's exposed to so many different world views and different doctrines that when you just trust it to generate something for you to share, you may find that this one is perhaps erring or leaning towards the side of something that's actually against the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's our duty, our task, as we use it as a tool, to ensure that it is aligning with Scripture. And there's a lot of editing that needs to be done when you use AI, proofreading, to ensure that whatever we put out is factual, is ethical, and is theologically sound, because you can run. I mean, if you do the era of printing out sermons from AI, you may be shocked as you are reading your sermon there in the pulpit, and you know the thing is not aligning. and it happens quite a lot with AI.
And I want to maybe just add this dimension as we close to that idea of oversight. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with the Gen Z Bible.
No, I haven't. Please tell me more about it.
Ooh, you must have a look. So the Gen Z Bible, actually, if you got to get a hard copy of it, does say in the front, the Bible as presented according to the language of Gen Zs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
used, so it's a translation.
It's a translation by ChatGPT.
Oh, hectic.
Yeah. And when you then read the Bible, of course, the language is very modern, you know, very youthy. Yeah. But this idea of oversight that you were just mentioning, that I think the person who created it didn't take time to go through and read, because you then find it's got statements such as AF, you know, and then you're like, okay, AF, what it means, should this be in the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
But because somebody didn't take the time, they just said, no, this is how young people talk.
Yeah.
And so it must go in, and they just plopped it out there. Yeah. So I think that's one of those key things that you're saying, oversight, allow it to, and then go through and say, okay, did you speak according to what I believe?
Yeah.
Or you can then tweak some things, and I think quite profound.
Yeah.
But now, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate you guiding us in how to utilize AI as a tool and not as a replacement.
Yeah, perhaps just a last thought.
Mm-hmm.
Keep writing.
Okay.
Keep reading, and don't rely overly on the tools that we have in our day and age. You would probably appreciate AI a lot more in refining the ideas that you have created, the ideas that you've allowed God to inspire you on as you read, as you gather information, and as you write. There's a very important connection between, you know, writing and speaking. The more you read, the more you write, the more things are stored in your long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, perhaps there's a day that you're going to need to stand and protect what you believe. I mean, it's just not long ago when the disciples were standing in courts defending their beliefs unto death. What will you do when all you rely on is AI? Will you say, can you pass me that the closest iPhone so I can find out what the truth about, you know, the Sabbath or God's love is? Or will you know it in your mind because you've studied, you've read, and you've written?
When we were doing a conversation this past week, we referred to, I think it's in Matthew, where Christ says, don't worry about what you will say on that day. In that same minute, God will give you what you need to answer. So maybe people will be like, no, man.
That verse, by the way, should be read not in isolation, but in perhaps you consolidated what the Bible already says on what the Holy Spirit teaches in terms of truth.
Yeah.
The Bible says study, and remember this verse, study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
Then God will give you what to say from things that you don't know. Otherwise, you'll get something to say from God and you're like, hey, God, I didn't know that one. You know, so it's not something new. It's not something fresh, but it's rather wisdom. It's rather God giving you the relevant thing to say at the time, because he's the
drawing
one who's working.
From your memory as
drawing
well.
From a memory, and he's the one who's working with the hearts. And ultimately, God is not giving you something to say to defend yourself, but to win those who are perhaps persecuting you over from what you've already studied. There's no magic here.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly what Paul was doing, right? When he was like, hey, when Prince King Agrippa was like, ah, you want to make me a Christian winner? Like, hey, not just you, but everybody here. Thank you so much, Brother Adesu, for that. And I was just reminded as you were speaking there of this quotation coming through from the book Education, to say every human being created in the image of God is endowed with a power akin to that of the Creator, individuality and a power to think and to do. So my dear friend, don't rely overly on this idea of AI. Go and think and do, and maybe you can utilize to help you refine.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.